a very famous and well-known hadith, and regularly we listen to this hadith and we are aware of the subject, but we very seldom listen to it. And I would say that as much as we listen to this hadith, it is not enough. We should listen to it more. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that in the hereafter, in the different phases of the hereafter, the first phase is the qabr, the grave. So we look at the phases of the hereafter. The hereafter itself is a whole, you can say, different world. And the hereafter starts from death, from the time of death. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that after death, straight after death, a human being will come across the manzil, the phase of the qabr, of the grave. And what we realize here is that despite the grave, there are many other phases and places that we will have to pass through after the grave, when we will be raised from the grave and Qiyamah will be presented, and there will be the day of Hashar, there will be the day of accounting, of reckoning. And then after that, the bridge of Sirat. And then we'll have to cross the bridge of Sirat. And Allah Ta'ala will then make decisions. There will be the decision of Allah for each person. So my brothers, all of this, these different phases will have to go through, the different journeys and the different, you can say, places on the way. This is not some minor thing. Every single part of that stage, of that journey, if we read the hadith, then it's ajeeb and unique and amazing what events will take place, what situations will confront us, and what predicaments will confront us. And the people who have gone, it's come on them already, and we, it's going to come to us very soon. Very soon indeed. But this dunya, the dunya we are in, and our nafs, our desires, our base desires, they don't allow us to contemplate or think about the hereafter. We are rather engrossed in ghaflat, in negligence, in ignorance, and then we forget these stages after death, the stages of life after death. And we think the dunya is everything, it's finite, we think. And this is the biggest deception. Now if we pay attention to this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that the first stage after death is the qabr, the first stage of the journey of the hereafter. And after that, there are also many other stages. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us such a beautiful explanation that the person who is saved from the grave, the punishments of the grave, if he passes that stage, that first stage after death, which is the grave, if a human being passes the stage of the grave, then all of the other stages that will come afterwards will become easy for that person. How important this is. How important this is to understand that whoever is saved from this first destination, then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the person who passes through the stage of the grave with success, then all the other stages that will come after that, many other phases and stages and tests and challenges, then that person will be saved from the rest as well. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that if we get stuck in the stage of the grave and we're not saved from the challenges of the grave, the punishments, then all the other stages that will come afterwards will also be severe for us, difficult for us. We'll get stuck in them. And Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said beyond this that more than the grave in terms of danger, more than the grave in terms of danger and severity, there is no other phase or stage compared to the grave. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is the most severe and dangerous phase and stage after death, which is the grave. What a great hadith. We've heard it before. We'll listen to the hadith now. The whole world, people of Iman, listen to this hadith. But ajeeb hal, condition, that this hadith, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated this hadith, then such a qawm, such a nation, listen to this, these 30 human beings who are the Ashabi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you know what, do I know, do we know what was the effect of this hadith on the noble companions? What was the effect? That all of the companions had the same sort of understanding and wavelength. And after listening to this hadith, their color was the same, their reaction was the same, their form was the same, their response was the same, all of the Sahaba. But if we see that within the Sahaba there were selected people, some were very unique in a certain action and a different action, like for example there was a selection or differentiate, that there were some people say that the Badri, the Sahaba from Badr were greater, or the Ashra Mubashra, or the people who take bait at a certain place were more afzal or greater. There were different stages. And what comes out from all of the Sahaba ikram, the noble companions, that four of the Sahaba were the greatest. Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, and Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajh. These four Sahaba, they were the greatest from all. And out of the four, Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was the greatest Sahabi companion. Radiallahu anhu. He was the best out of all of mankind after all of the prophets. Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the greatest from mankind. Now, what was their condition? On every footstep they had good news, they had glad tidings, they had rewards from the Quran, from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's statements. And if I could present to you one Sahabi, one companion's statements, and all of the companions had the same reaction, the same lifestyle, and mashallah, this hadith you will have heard. Has Uthman radiallahu anhu. This is with regards to him. Radiallahu anhu. That after hearing this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was his hal? That if he would go nearby to a grave, in a graveyard or a grave, then his halat, his condition would become very strange. He would cry so much, fear would overcome him, grief, that the eyes would be full of the tears, the face and his beard and all his hair would be dripping with the tears. This was the action of this great Sahabi, this great companion, crying so much and shivering near to the grave. When this became his condition, that 9 times in his life he was given the good news of forgiveness. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah ta'ala gave him the good news about forgiveness. Rather, there was the event of Tabuk, when Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed the Sahaba that please assist in this expedition. Then all of the Sahaba, all the companions brought, Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, there's events how much each person brought. And Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, at that time he was a tajir, he was a businessman, amir, he was rich. Transactions, when he heard about the need, and that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had requested, and he was about to send a caravan of goods for transactions and business to a certain country, and he called it back. Or he stopped it, and in different narrations it's explained different, that was 200 or 900 or 1,000. And very many salva and gold and dinar and coins. And in some hadith it states that all of the coins and the treasures and the money was in that caravan. And Hazrat Uthman came radiallahu anhu to the blessed presence and said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please accept this hadiah from me. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became so happy after seeing this, that in one narration it states that Rasulullah ﷺ said that Allah Ta'ala, please be happy with Uthman. I'm happy with Uthman. Oh, you Allah, please be happy with Uthman as well. And in another narration, Rasulullah ﷺ said, oh Allah, that please Allah, take away the reckoning and the accounting from Uthman on the Day of Judgment. Don't reckon with him or don't account him for deeds. And another riwayah, another narration, it stated that Rasulullah ﷺ said, Oh Allah, with Uthman, oh Allah, in the hereafter, after death, totally wipe him away, wipe all manner of sins away from him so he has no sins attached to his name. And in another narration, Rasulullah ﷺ, it stated that Hazrat Uthman presented the money and the coins, and Rasulullah ﷺ looked at that money, and Rasulullah ﷺ said, Uthman, whatever amal you do after today, but nothing can give you negativity or loss. And Rasulullah ﷺ in another narration said, Uthman, congratulations, Allah Ta'ala has forgiven you. So this crying, what was his crying after that, despite all of this good news? So it's ajeeb, isn't it? It sounds weird that you have the luggage of forgiveness. he's still crying next to the grave and sobbing. He had yaqeen, but he wasn't without fear. He still had the fear that even though he was told that he's forgiven and then of this maqam and this status and this rank, but he had deep, you can say, embedded fear of Allah. And we, let's see today our hal, our condition. Let's pay attention. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. It's extremely, you can say, happy news, or it's Allah Ta'ala's blessing and mercy that Salah is 6 a.m. in the morning, for example. And people are free, 6:45, 7 a.m. go home, and they're resting, mashallah, sitting down, talking, drinking tea, mashroob. And everyone's doing their own activities, everyone's free, and they're eating. And you, what happened to you? -4 is outside. Yeah, so Isha has passed. And who comes out in the winter from their hot bed? People have hot water bottles, they relax home. So why have you people come here, you brothers? Who has brought you here? Who has called you here? We were also free. We had food. We could have relaxed at home after early Isha. So who has brought us here? This is Allah's fadl and karam, that this is how a person prepares for their after. Isha was at 6 earlier, a couple of hours before. This is Allah Ta'ala's ni'mah. This is the true treasure of Allah, ni'mah, gift. That Allah Ta'ala detaches the person from the dunya, and he wipes away and dusts down the dunya and leaves the rest and aran. Isn't it? And everything that's happening in the world at the moment, we're free and detached from that. Not sins, just normal enjoyment of the nafs halal. Eating, drinking, relaxing, hot water bottle, lying down on the mattress. You could be drinking tea, coffee at home, talking, discussing. You're free quickly, let's go home, drink some soup, relax. It's warm inside the house, the heaters are on. But no, we're tired. You've worked during the day, you've set out from the morning out of your homes. But alhamdulillah, the love of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr has dragged you here. So if this is not the ni'am of Allah, then what is this? Tell me. What is this? Has the nafs stopped you? Could it stop you? Could the shaitan stop you? Could he have stopped you? Could he have? Tell me. Tell me. That Allah Ta'ala's massive karam and fadl, His grace, the how Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has taken us out of the pastimes and made the nafrat, you can say the dislike for the dunya, and given us all the muhabbat and love of this majlis of dhikr. And this is the true color of the sahaba. Radiallahu anhum. Brother, we don't even know about this majlis. We don't know about what we're going to get. This hadith I've just presented to you. It's about the destinations to come, the phases to come, the stages to come after death, and about the stage of the qabr, the grave after death. Now, what a big test that will take place in the grave. A massive test. Can anything from here save us from the qabr? From the grave? From the challenges and the punishments? Who? Who will from this dunya physically save us from the punishments of the grave? Who? Allah's, but yes, there is something that can save us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, listen people, we need to prepare to save ourselves from the punishment and the darkness of the grave. Listen, our objective is not eating and drinking. Our objective is that time to come, the stage, grave, we need to prepare for that. That's the message of this hadith. And the sahaba ikram, the noble companions, their lives are an example for us, that they were not lost. They knew they were forgiven. Even then they had fear. And we don't even know what's going to happen to us. We're in such a bad situation. Such a bad condition. And today the biggest veil of ignorance that can cross our eyes and our lives is that we know about that adab in the punishment. Hazrat Bara radiyallahu anhu has narrated a hadith with regards to the qabr, the grave. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that the severe and dangerous state that when a person would be lowered into the grave, lowered, and when he will not be able to reply to the questions, the test, then he'll say, I don't know. When his mouth will say, I don't know, then from above Allah will say, you lie. You are lying. Allah will say, you are lying. Straight away. And in his grave, beneath his grave, the fire will enrage and come. Then it will be asked from him, that person in the grave, that the fire, if it fills from within and beneath you, and the qabr, make the grave tight so that his ribs overlap. And then it will be announced and ordered that such an angel should be designated to this person in the grave who cannot listen to his shrieks. And with such a tool, he should beat that inhabitant of the grave that even if he hits the mountain, that tool, the mountain would crumble to dust. Imagine that club. That tool, and when that tool, that club will come down on that person's grave, the whole universe, creation, jinnat, except for human beings, hear the noise and the shrieks and the cries. And this is the punishment of the grave, my friends. Is there any way we can be saved? Is there any preparation I've made to be saved from this? Okay, fine. I pray salah and I do other actions. There's no doubt. But pure for every, you can say, predicament, Allah's given a cure and a solution. And there's a solution which is guaranteed 100% to save us from the punishments of the grave. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there's no action under the sun. There's no amal that can save us from the adab, the punishment of the grave. The best deed that can save us from the punishment of the grave is the dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah. It's a fact. Imagine this, that we take all our worship and deeds to one side. But how severe is this maqam of the grave, and how we are stuck and intertwined with our nafs and shaitan and our conditions of our life and dunya and the well. But if we take the cure, the medicine that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prescribed to us, that this action of dhikr, there's no other deed that can compare, come near, come close to dhikr of Allah, and dhikr of Allah will save us the most from the punishment of the grave, and that's it. And what a great reward. But despite this, Allah Ta'ala says that I give the love and instill the love of dhikr into the hearts of the people. We should say, Allah, how severe is the grave? It will be darkness, punishments. Allah, how will be saved? There was a pious predecessor, pious elders. He said, Allah, please show me the scene of the grave. Allow me to see. Yeah. So there are two parts to the grave. Two extreme opposites. He said, Allah, show me the grave. And then Allah Ta'ala showed him in the night. There's such a dream. And he saw the qiyamah was established. And what he saw people coming out of the grave and punishments. And people, somebody sitting in different sorts of scenes. And he saw so many different things. And he saw some people, qoms, nations on high platforms and seats. And he said, who are these people, Allah? And Allah said, these were those people who used to love each other in the world. Who used to love each other for the sake of Allah. And they weren't in the punishment. They had high status, high platform. So it's love that's brought us here, isn't it? Love. So there are two points. Read the Quran. That when the people will be crossing the bridge of Sirat. It's such a place, the bridge of Sirat. This is also a stage that will come after death. How can we be saved from this? Tell me. The bridge of Sirat is such a place that it's a bridge. The bridge of Sirat, it is lighter than a hair. It is sharper than a sword. It will be darkness upon darkness, and we will have to cross this bridge. And beneath that bridge is the hellfire. And in front, the other side of the bridge is paradise. We need to prepare for this crossing. We all will have to cross this. Now there's some people who will pass this bridge. Like, you know how electricity travels through a wire? Imagine fast speed of light. Yeah, they will shoot across that bridge of Sirat. And other people, they will cross the bridge of Sirat like a storm. You know, like the speed of light and of a wind and a hurricane. And in another hadith, they said there will be some people, you know, the Arabic horse. And it goes clockety, 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 clockety. And they'll be crossing that bridge of Sirat. Yeah. So when the people will be crossing the bridge of Sirat, and there will be some people, soon as they're going on the bridge of Sirat, their body, they will be split into two due to the sharpness of the sword, and half onto this side of Jahannam and half into this side of Jahannam. This is a sahih hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, authentic narration. This is not some story, not jackanory, not a tale, not a folk tale. For this reason, so we can prepare, awaken ourselves and not live the life of ghaflat. So when they'll be crossing this bridge, there'll be two types of people in Jahannam. One will be those who will forever be in Jahannam, hum fiha khalidun, forever they'll be in Jahannam, they will never come out because they didn't believe in Allah. And who will be the other people? That they had iman, but they were drowned in the sins in the dunya. And never did they do tawbah, never did they repent, never did they do dhikr, never did they remember Allah, did they have any worry for salah, never did they go on tabligh and tadris. They had no such fikr of deen in their lives, in the dunya, just dunya, dunya, materialism, dunya, 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 earn. Sometimes went and prayed a broken salah, sometimes came, sometimes went. In other words, their love in their heart was fikr of dunya, worry of assets, worry of goods. Allah knows the depths of the heart, and Allah knows that what is my fikr in my heart? What is it that has overwhelmed and controlled my heart? What is leading me in my life? What gives me the vision? Everyone in the saf who prays salah in the row, Allah Allah knows the hearts of every musalli who's praying salah. Allah says, this musalli, brother X, who's praying, how much worry has he got for his grave? And how much does he want to prepare for thereafter? And how much khawf does he have in his heart? And he's got khawf and he's praying. And everything is inside. You don't know what a person's doing. We don't know. We're doing sujood, prostration, ruku. We can't recognize from the actions of people what's in their hearts. But Allah knows. Allah knows. Remember this. So the heart that's inside us, nobody knows what fikr is ingrained in my heart. Yeah, actions do, you can say, demonstrate what's in the heart, but to an extent. But the fikr of the world and the fikr of the akhirah, these are two things that are ingrained in people's hearts. And Allah knows what's in the heart. Now fikr, worry, is reflected by actions. And Allah says, I know what this person is thinking and feeling and how deeply he's got worry for thereafter. When a person has fikr akhirah, then he starts to prepare while living in this world. Then he understands the hadith of Rasulullah. When he hears the hadith, all night long he tosses and turns. Oh, what will the qabr be like? How will I go to the qabr? How will I stop? And what will happen to me? And all night long he will have a worry for the qabr. And then he will seek. So Allah knows in his heart what he has to do. Then Allah Ta'ala guides him and sends rahmah into his heart. Then Allah Ta'ala shows him the path. Like it's stated in the hadith that we ask that dua. What is that dua? That Allah, Allah give us your love. And those people who have this fikr and worry, they ask this dua, that Allah give us your muhabbat and love. Then they say, Allah, and this is a hadith, the cure is continuing and the tariqah, the method is coming. Because when we ask Allah Ta'ala's love, then say, Allah, give us the method. Allah, we want your love, and also give us the love of that person who loves you. Because without his love, we cannot have your love. So Allah has given us the cure. We're asking for Allah Ta'ala's love. So first action we're asking is, Allah, give us your love and give us the love of that person who loves you. Put his love into our heart. And where will this help us? Bridge of Sirat. This is Quran. That when we'll be crossing the bridge of Sirat, then there'll be two people, two types of people. One who don't have the iman forever. They will go underneath Jahannam. And those who sinned in the world, and they will come out, but their bodies will have been burnt, but their face will still be correct, because they had iman in the heart. And they won't be spoiled like those who didn't, like those who will be given the eternal fire. So while they'll be crossing the bridge, the first group will shriek out and scream, oh, people of Noor, oh, people of Noor, of light, look at us, which hal we are in, our condition, please assist us, help us, give us some Noor, some light, so we can be saved. So we can be saved. So Allah Ta'ala will call out that no need to listen to these people. Cross, cross. Let them continue to burn in the fire. Immense and severe fire. Azab will be given to those people. And the others will cross the bridge. And there will be another group. Those who will be the sinners. The sinful. So first group will be those who cross the bridge fast, fast. Those others who sinned, their faces are correct, but they will be eating their own flesh, pulling off their flesh and eating it. Astaghfirullah. Ajeeb azab they will get in Jahannam. And then what will happen? The people of Noor, while they'll be going, they'll stop. They'll stop and they'll look down. They'll look down. They'll say, what are you looking at? Allah will say, what are you doing? They'll say, Allah, we can see. Is there any man who we knew down there below in the hellfire? Remember this hadith, Allah? Is there such a man? Allah, remember this hadith I just told you. Allah, give us the love of that person who loves you and who you love. So Allah Ta'ala will say that, look, those people we recognize, oh, that person down there, Allah. They'll say, for the sake of Allah, help us, brother. Look at our hal, we're burning, we're eating our own flesh. We don't have water, we've got pus to drink. We are finished, Allah, please save us, save us. So the people of Noor who are crossing the bridge from above say, oh, I know this person, I recognize him. I know this person. They'll say, Allah, I know this person. Then Allah, they'll say, Allah, please take them out from minan nar. They'll be stood on the bridge of Surat. Allahumma akhrij minan nar. Allah, take these people out of the fire. Allah, take them out of the fire. Save them from the fire. Allah, save them from the fire. Allah will say, no, I will not give them forgiveness. I will not give them salvation. As long as they don't have their full, they don't serve their full term, I will not forgive. Then they'll say again, the people crossing the bridge, Allah, take them out of the hellfire. Allah, take them out of the hellfire. Allah will say again, no, no. Then the third time they'll say, Allah, plead, Allah, please, have karam, mercy, raham, raham. They'll be doing this dua on the bridge of Sirat. And Allah will say, what's the reason that you're asking for them to be forgiven? These people are burning in Jahannam. They'll say, Allah, we recognize these people. Allah will say, how do you recognize them? They'll say, oh Allah, that when we were in the world, in the dunya, then sometimes they used to come to us. Or to me. And that while I was walking, they would you say salam to me, or they would come to my majlis, will say that good person crossing the bridge. And many times, sometimes they would demonstrate their love. So I don't know about his good deeds or her good deeds, but I had a link with these people. Oh Allah, that sometimes they did used to implement good deeds, they used to assist me in something or serve me in something, Allah, the admin man will be saying, Allah, their favors upon me, but I know that their amal were very bad indeed, ba Allah. So the person of Noor is saying that Allah, the person who's crossing the bridge of Surat, the good person will say, Allah, if I've got anything good deed in my life, then please accept that deed and please benefit this person with that deed and give them Jannah. Allah will say, I swear with my respect and my izzah and my jalal. Go, whoever you recognize, take them out of the fire. Take them out. So my brothers, this hadith that I've narrated, recited for this reason, so that our hearts that are asleep can come awake. And sometimes we should remember death and we should try to understand what is death and what preparation we need to make for death and the stage after that, amal, the most special deed. Okay, praise Allah, do other worship actions. But Allah Ta'ala said two things. Allah said, told us in Quran and Hadith, two points have been explained. Allah Ta'ala has told us that sit and meet with good people, the walis of Allah, and make a connection with them. And the second, do the dhikr of Allah. These two actions are the shade and the assistance in the hereafter. And never will you lose out in the world due to these two things, nor in the hereafter will you lose out. In the dunya, you will get the benefit of these two things. I tell you, remember this. Never will you be empty-handed. Never. Never will you be empty-handed if you do dhikr of Allah and you have the connection with the friends of Allah in this world, with the pious people, if you have their sohbat, their connection, their company of the wali, the awliya, the friends of Allah, and if you do dhikr of Allah in parallel, you will never be empty-handed in the world. You will benefit. So at least in our lives, we should bring these things into our life, these two things. That, okay, at least once in the week, that we should go to a majlis, a gathering where there's dhikr, and we're listening to good things, new things. What loss is there in this? And Allah Ta'ala, if He gives us more opportunity, we should try and sit more. So this is the reason that our objective of life is one objective, that the azab in the grave, we can't see any deed that will save us from the punishments of the grave. There's no guarantee. But Allah, I've got dhikr. Allah will say that whichever hal you do dhikr in, I will accept it. Allah says, I give you the guarantee in the world that this will benefit you definitely. Definitely will benefit you. In any way you do dhikr, with negligence, sleeping, walking, talking, whatever way. If you're doing dhikr, the dhikr will assist you and it will save you from the punishment of the grave. And connection of Allah, with the friend of Allah, nisbat, sohbat, company, connection, and knowing the friends of Allah, the pious people, good people in the world, this definitely will benefit us as well in this world and after. So doing dhikr wherever we are, walking, talking, sleeping, lying down, whatever. So Allah Ta'ala loves His dhikr, and Allah Ta'ala loves those who do His dhikr. Remember, so these are two things we need to attach ourselves to in this world. What a great statement. Allah Ta'ala says that person, if you look at the effects of my dhikr on that person, when you look at a person and he reminds you of Allah, then consider that this person is my beloved person. What a great, great statement. That Allah Ta'ala says, I love those human beings who do my dhikr. That when you see them, they remind you of me, Allah Ta'ala says. Imagine that the people, they'll be struggling and there'll be people who were disobeying, they'll be punished in thereafter, and they used to disobey Allah, shun Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reject, there were women and men who left the deen every day. Quran would be read to them, tafaseer, commentaries, it'd be explained to them, and how hard their hearts were. Let's take the example of the Sahaba. They were forgiven, Allah was pleased with them, radiyallahu anhum, but their hearts accepted the deen so much, and the fikr of the worry of this life and the hereafter, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so much, they knew that Allah is Kareem and that He'd forgive them, but there's so much fear that they still were scared and afraid, and they used to cry, and we've gone so far from reality, so far, that not even one footstep do we tread, that we are going to pass away. The grave is coming. It's coming close. The azab will come on me. The punishment. I need to make some struggle and effort to go close to Allah. I need to make some struggle so that I can do good actions in my life and leave silly things. So what a bad place is the qabr. And we should make it a beautiful abode with actions. There was a one person who saw in his dream in the grave. Rather, the event is such that, you know, some people, for example, there are people who go, you know, they the grave diggers. So there was a grave digger, and he went to the graveyard. He said, yeah, let me take out this body from the grave. When he dug the grave, he saw that person who just died recently, and he had a very sort of, he was sitting on a platform, a seat of light, and he was reading the Quran, and there was a river flowing from beneath him. And he fell unconscious there, the man, as soon as he dug the grave and saw this scene. He said, what's happening here? He was finished there and then. So this is a ditch in which we will have to be buried. It's a unique place. And it, you can say, when we think about it, it sounds weird, but we should decorate it, prepare for it, look at it. Alhamdulillah, even if we don't have many deeds. But let's take one deed in your life. Don't leave the dhikr of Allah. Make your habit to do dhikr. Yes, while you do dhikr, there are some people who come, they run away from dhikr, they don't do dhikr, their heart doesn't like it for some reason. But imagine that every house has a river flowing underneath it and we're still thirsty. Can you ever think this? That can we consider 150 years ago before in this country, were there masjids here? Was there salah or tabligh? Was there ta'aleem? Were people giving dars? Could we imagine that these scenes taking place? MashaAllah, worship. Oh, I forget that 150 years. Let's go 10, 15 years ago. Could anyone think that in masjid, the zikr, there'll be a jamaat sat down doing dhikr? Tell me the truth. No. Could anyone contemplate? Imagine nobody knew what was dhikr, what is dhikr, how to do dhikr. And could we think that dhikr would happen and there'll be a jamaat, a group in the morning who will sit and tell ishraq and remember Allah? What a great fadl and karam of Allah. Mercy and blessings and grace, and still people are rejecting this ni'mah, this gift of Allah. Is this not sad? Will Allah not ask that I gave you such a great opportunity in the grave that come, but we make excuses. It's cold, it was far, I couldn't do it, etc. At least those people who have learned dhikr in every condition way they should reach here. Our beards are white, we're ill, distress and problems, but we don't come to dhikr. We don't do dhikr. We know that there's wahid, one thing that will save us in the grave. And what is that? Dhikr of Allah will save us. Dhikr of Allah will save us. So beautiful and a beloved an action, and such an easy preparation for the grave, about which Rasulullah said that there's no more severe place than the grave. Rasulullah said, I've not seen a worse place than the grave. I'll start telling you about the events of the grave. We will listen and we'll go mad. We will get distracted and upset that what are the adabs and the punishments of the grave. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that stage and that phase for this reason. Not that He's kept it hidden. Allah ta'ala said that I've given you amal, deeds, to save you from the punishment of the grave, and you still played along with those deeds. You never did them properly. You made them tradition and habits and customs. And again, so let's make a strong promise, brothers, that we will love dhikr of Allah. And this opportunity we have for doing dhikr, do we know that tomorrow will be healthy or not? Will we have the courage? Will we have the ability? Will we be able to come or not? But as long as we have the health and the courage and the determination and ability, we can reach. Okay, fine, you're ill, you can't come here. Then Allah Ta'ala will give you the reward there and then, wherever you are. Because Allah Ta'ala gives, even without coming, you'll get the reward if you're ill. Now, what do we have to do? We have to have that link with Allah. Allah knows us best. And we can't deceive Allah. Allah knows that, can this person go or not? Is he making an excuse? Can he reach there or not? How much strength he has or doesn't, or power, etc., energy. So at that time, Allah might stop us. Now, we need to stop that in the morning, for example. The morning time, if you want to drive your taxi from 7 a.m. You say, no, I will drive my taxi after Ishraq, sunrise, and this 2 hours I cannot work, it's not in my destiny, I want to get the earning the food of thereafter. Shaitan will say, no, drive your taxi now. If you don't drive your taxi for 2 hours, your grave, you'll lose out, your world, you know, you will lose out, you don't make money, and you'll be working there for 2 hours, and even then you won't get a passenger or a customer. Yeah, you'll be sat there waiting, isn't it? So the person who is self-employed, at least, who has his own job, the rizq in his own hands, in a way, why are they worried? We should do so much tawakkul Allah, that Allah, you've given me rizq and your wealth. At least I should do this, that I should leave my work for 2 hours in the morning and prepare for the grave. What will I think tomorrow? That I was driving a taxi while dhikr was going on and I got a van from my grave? If I open my shop, pick up the shutters late 2 hours, so what difference will it make if the customer comes? There's no restriction that definitely you have to open the shutters at 8 a.m. Is there a restriction? Is there a condition? Does the police come and say to you, oh, you didn't open your shop at 8 a.m. They say, no, come 2 hours later if you want. Whatever it is, it comes fine. That this is the point. That, alhamdulillah, the government, for example, rather they used to attend and they used to come 10 o'clock. They come here, that this man is not listening, I'll forget him. They used to say, why don't you open your shop? This was a big center where the shop was. It was a new center, posh shops. There was a demand, there was a rule. The 8 a.m. the shop should open, and this is what you should do. That. Who used to go there? I didn't go there that time. And they fed up. They got fed up. They gave penalties and warnings. And I said, fine. That's no problem. I can't come at that time. And how can a person leave the dhikr of Allah? How? Alhamdulillah. So that time has passed. Alhamdulillah. At least we've prepared for the grave. At least. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a chance that you are not an employee. You are not an employee. And you are self-employed. Or you're totally free. You don't even work. You are free hand. Money's coming from some other place for you. So here, then alhamdulillah, your job is such that it's free. Everything's coming into your pockets. And that time in the morning, there's nothing. Yes, you've got a loss in the world 2 hours, but you've got the keys in your pocket for your shop. So let me see how many customers come to your shop in the morning 2 hours. It's just a deception. No, no, if I don't open at 8 a.m., the turnover will decrease. Don't be upset with what I'm saying. I'm just saying something. But if you have passion for the hereafter, then what's these 2 hours? The work after 2 hours. It's like a computer. You sat online. Oh, you said, why do I have to start 8 a.m.? No, no, no. These 2 hours, if I don't run the system and print off the orders, what will happen? No difference will be made. It will become another time that you'll pray Salah 4 a.m. with the Fadl of Allah. Then you can open your shops early if you want after that. So what I'm trying to say is that Allah Ta'ala likes this. That how much does this servant of mine have fikr worry? That these words Allah Ta'ala says I've delivered to you via my Habib Rasulullah and the Quran. Do you have a passion and a desire to prepare for the grave? Allah says, just imagine your neck will shake and the Malik al-Maut, angel of death, will come and say salam to you. Where will you run then? Where will I run then? I can't run then. The time's finished. So tomorrow Allah says, I don't want to hear you tomorrow. I want you now. Today is the time. Today what we've done, we've done. Tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, who will listen to us? Who will listen? Allah says, that day is gone. The time is gone. End of story. So Allah says, put him into the fire, ag, and give him the punishment and burden and the weight on top of him, and release the serpents and the scorpions and the pythons and the snakes on this person. So brothers, this is the point. Let's try. I need to try. You need to try. We all should try. Our objective is to make our hereafter. And not once. Not once. Rather, oh, I'm praying 5 times a day. That's it. I'm forgiven. No. This will not be enough. No, there are many great stages to come after. I have to go through this stage, the grave and other places. And every amal, deed, will have a specific benefit in a specific place. Some deeds will help a bridge of Sirat, some on the Day of Judgment, and in other places. Every deed will have its specific benefit. And the Muslim, he should be haris and greedy in this respect. That when we are free from the dunya, we should run to Allah's home, to the dhikr of Allah, to good deeds, and to the company of a wali Allah, and to have a connection with the awli Allah, the wali Allah, and say, Allah's wali, you my friend, and I'm your friend. You are my friend, I'm your friend. Here, that's it. I'm here at your service from today. I want to be your best friend. You are my friend, and I am your friend. Tell me. That's friendship. And he says, why do you want to be my friend? He'll say, for no other reason that in between us two, our friendship is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Has anybody got such a friendship? Make this sort of friendship. That between me and you is Allah, and I'm your ashik and you are my ashik. End of story. I like you and you like me. I love you for the sake of Allah, you love me for the sake of Allah. Allah says, I'm listening. I will make your friendship so solid that you will walk into paradise holding hands together. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I've told you the Quran, that how the people of Noor will take the people out of hellfire. Allah says, you can select them, the people, you know, and take them out of the hellfire. That Allah, I know this person. I know this individual. I know that person is burning. Allah will say, take them out of the fire and take them to paradise. So brothers, the pious people, the good people, Allah Ta'ala says, they're not here to pester you in the world. Yeah, where the masjid is constructed, there's the imam, isn't it? Have you ever seen today, there's a masjid where there's no imam? Have you seen that? No. Oh, there's a masjid, where's the imam? Allah says, hey, here's the imam. Where did he come? Ready, made, prepared, at your service. Subhanallah. Masjid, tilawat, recitation. So this is not the case, that there's no service or resources. Allah says, you make the ability, you make the intention and courage, and I will give you the resources, Allah Ta'ala says. Allah says, you create the desire, that Allah, please introduce me to a friend of yours. Show me your friend. I want to meet your friend, Allah, your awliya Allah, your friends. Allah says, okay, before the evening, I will introduce you to my friend. How? That you go to a masjid, you're praying salah. Oh, this person, you go home. Oh, I went to the masjid and there was a face with Noor and I liked being with him. And I gave him salam and he gave me the reply, salam, with love. And we'll be scared then. Then he'll say, salam alaikum salam. Then he'll say to his wife, he's a good man. He meets me and he speaks to me and I realize that he's a peer. He's a sheikh. He's a pious person. Is it? And then Allah Ta'ala increases the friendship. Subhanallah, that's it. And the job then that the peer does, then the murid will have a reflection. It's not just that the peer, the sheikh, is doing dhikr and he takes the money out of the pocket of the students, no. Or the sheikh is doing the dhikr of Allah and the student, he steals from people. No, both need to do the same. Sheikh does Allah, student does Allah, that's it. So Allah, dhikr of Allah will help us in the qabr, in the grave, on the day of Hashar, day of judgment, bridge of Sirat, will save us from all of the stages and take us to, deliver us to paradise. How easy is this amal? Is this hard? No, very easy. So this is the point, that if we love dhikr, if we love a wali of Allah, a sheikh, a teacher, the example I've given you, that all millions and billions of people are sleeping in the dunya and we are doing dhikr in the masjid. Just look here. Let's look at this locality. How did we come here? Who drops us to the house? Who brought us to that? What a beloved time this is for the nafs now. Evening, freedom, pray salah, sit at home. A nice warmth. This is all relaxing, drinking tea, talking, gossiping. Today what's the news? Oh, the house has been made. It's about to be finished. We have to go to India soon. What a waste of time talk. It's great time. Let's wait for the holidays, and it's holidays, and it's cold, and we're eating nice warm food. And this is the desire of man, isn't it? And we've left all of that, and we're sat here, and you're watching me, and I'm watching you. You're looking at me, and I'm looking at you. And after a while, we'll start, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Subhanallah. So whose zat is this? Who's brought us here? That's why I've loved you and you've loved me. And we've done the love for the dhikr of Allah. So we have replaced the negligence and the ignorance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has made us wake up. People are running here with the fadl of Allah. Subhanallah. Like a fly, like a wasp. A wasp, it runs to the honey. That's how sweet is the name of Allah. So make strong love for Allah and a strong connection with the dhikr of Allah. Okay? And with the friends of Allah, make a nisbah, the connection, make it solid. There will be the people coming between, shaitan, people try to come and ward you away and take you away, but be strong and adhere to it. Say fine, you can say whatever you want, but Allah, Allah, we're not doing nothing else. We're just saying Allah's name and reciting Durood Sharif. Yeah? And Allah's Mahbub sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're speaking about him and nothing else. We're doing dhikr of Allah, durood, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his words, and our heart is getting filled with nur, and there's nothing else. So why should I leave dhikr? Why should I come away from dhikr? I can't see any negative here. So give the answer to shaitan. Okay? So should we start dhikr now? Ready? This is now the preparation for the qabr, mashallah.